Blog Talk Radio.
We want to welcome everybody once again to the RF Sports Radio Show. We're sorry about the delay. Had some problems with the servers at Blog Talk Radio, but we are back and live on the air. We had a great show last time. We were joined by several callers talking about the Cowboys, several callers that were talking about the NFL. So we want to definitely touch in on some of that. We want to thank everybody for emailing and joining our Twitter page. And we're asking for everyone to email us again today. You can email us at rfsportsradio@gmail.com. And I need some cold remedies. If you guys got any remedies for colds, allergies, I got a house full of sick people. So anyone that can help me on that front, we're looking for emails. Definitely. As you know, what we do at this time, we go from 9 to 11. We talk about everything going on in the sports world, some of the top stories locally in the Dallas and Fort Worth area, or even Texas for that matter. And we're going to definitely get into a lot of hot topics and stuff today. So definitely remember, guys, you can call in 323-927-2906. That's 323-927-2906. So without further ado, we can definitely introduce my co-host, Mr. Royce. Are you there?
Good afternoon, Ryan. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. As you can tell, a little stopped up trying to get over a cold, but the show must go on, right?
That's absolutely correct. Could it have been from the whooping you got on the golf course today?
Hey, we're not going to talk about that. We're not going to talk about that.
good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the show.
And don't forget, you can always get in contact with us. We look for everyone to log on to the show's site, blogtalkradio.com/RF Sports, or you can definitely catch us on Twitter. And the Twitter follow is RF Sports Radio. And again, the email address is rfsportsradio@gmail.com. Even though it's Thursday, there's a lot going on in sports today, Royce. One of the biggest stories that we can touch on first, now we debated this on our kickoff show about the Heisman, whether Reggie Bush should give it away, whether they should take it from him, who should rightfully get it. Well, I guess the decision's already been made for us. Apparently, Reggie Bush has decided to forfeit the Heisman Trophy. Now, you were one of those people that talked about how all the other college athletes took money, what makes him any different. What are your thoughts about him actually forfeiting the Heisman Trophy?
Well, Rodney, I think the school should get their trophy back. But as far as Reggie Bush, what he accomplished on the field, you can't take that away from him. Not ineligible. Probably out of the whole team, probably two or three other guys that broke the rules too. So do you go back and penalize them too? That's my opinion, though.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the biggest question, and we talked about that. It's the fact that the school did have to give up their trophy, that they had to forfeit the wins from that particular season. But the guys that are playing right now, the guys that are getting penalized the most, they're the ones that can't go to bowl games. They can't have a season that really doesn't matter that much. So they're the guys that's really paying the price for everything that's going on. So I definitely understand what you're saying on that. Now, another hot topic, and this always brings up another issue, should the college player get paid? And I know me and you discussed this before, but there's got to be something in place for these colleges to take care of these athletes. I mean, everyone around Reggie Bush is making money. The schools are making money. They're selling jerseys. They're getting more people to pay tuition, higher tuition to go to a school like USC so they can be a part of the football team. But there's got to be some way in place that the NCAA can allow the schools to take care of the players in some type of scholarship fashion. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, you're absolutely correct. You know, and a lot of people would dispute that and say, well, they get an education. Well, you know, Ronnie, to be honest with you, I don't think the college is out any money by giving them that free scholarship because tuition is at an all-time high, enrollment is at an all-time high, and plus the money that they make generally just off TV revenue, bowl appearances, and the merchandise. So really the education part of it doesn't cost the universities anything. And I think they should get paid. And give them, you know, allowance, salary, whatever you want to call it, you know. And they can make it on a seniority basis. You know, you've been that year, freshman, junior, senior, you know what I mean, graduate, and that's how they could make a kind of pay scale. So
right.
I think they should get paid.
Yeah, it should be some in place, but there's no reason for a guy like Reggie Bush not to have a car, not to have a housing arrangement for his parents, for his family, for him not to have money to go do some of the stuff he would like to do. There's no reason why any college player on that caliber or for any caliber of that reason not to be able to do those type of things for him and his family when the school is getting all the reward. So it's got to be something done. Something's got to be put into place. I mean, they have to do something. A lot of the fallback of that, they've also removed Reggie Bush's jersey from the L.A. Coliseum. And I don't know what's going to happen later. You know, a lot of times these college players build a camaraderie with their school. They like to go back and to visit the school. And he can't have any contact with the school while they're on, the school's on suspension. But what's going to happen? I mean, he's not going to have that tie back to the school because, I mean, they're basically washing their hands of Reggie Bush.
Right, right. But, you know, Rodney, you know, with all that being said, actually, but what he did on the field, you know what I mean, as far as running the plays, and, you know, they are hiring these kids. They go to the parents, you know, they ask, can we have your kid, put him in our care, you know, their responsibility. And it's just flip the script. Suppose, you know, you do take a scholarship, go to school, you're in your second year playing football. You know, you get paralyzed. You know what I mean?
Right.
Then that's something. The kid comes back to me. I got to take care of the rest of his life. You know what I mean? I got a bill for life. You know what I mean? So it
right.
should be some compensation because you are putting your kid at risk, and the kids are giving their life, and they're dedicating really their bodies and everything else to the school. So they are really hired, you know, to perform on the football field.
Right. And speaking of the parents, Reggie Bush made some comments about the whole situation here recently. And one of the things he said was that his mom and dad did not want him to give back the Heisman. So the only person in his circle that really felt like he should give it back was his pastor. Even the parents felt strongly about, hey, you did this on the field. You deserve this. We're not mad about whatever's happening. You need to keep your trophies. But then now that the Heisman's been vacated, I mean, what do you think should happen now? I know Vince Young came out in the media and said, hey, he doesn't want it. Then he said he does want it. Even Mac Brown came out and said, hey, I called Vince and told him, if they give it to you, take it so we can have it here at the school. What do you think should happen now? Should it remain vacant, or should they give it to somebody, to the second place winner like Vince Young?
Well, I think they should definitely give it to the second place runner-up because you know, just like any other country, a state of Miss America pageant, if for some reason that Miss America is disqualified, then the person runner up steps up and takes her place. You know, they could do the same thing. And in my opinion, Vince Young should have got the Heisman that year anyway. But if he was second Heisman votes, he should get the trophy. You know what I mean?
I think everybody feel like Vince Young should get it after the championship game when he basically won it by himself. I think everybody felt that way. Even those that voted for Reggie Bush. There's also been talk about having a revote. They're saying maybe take the votes that apply to Bush and have a revote for them to vote for other players. But I think it's hands down. I think everybody knows if Bush doesn't have it, I mean, Vince Young should have it. I don't see any other way around it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're absolutely right. I agree with you. But it's, you know, everybody has an opinion. Yeah, and I think Reggie Bush ended up being the fall guy for everybody that took money, you know, in college sports. And it was what it teaches the next generation is don't get caught, you know.
Right.
So,
right. Now, they're definitely going to make an example out of Reggie Bush. He's been the biggest example so far. And you have other people that have run Heisman, even a guy like O.J. Simpson. Although what he did wasn't necessarily football related, now people think he should give up the Heisman. And I think the only reason why Reggie Bush felt obligated to give it up because, honestly, he was ruled ineligible for that year. So he knows being ineligible as a player means you cannot win the player awards. So I think he did the right thing. But who knows what's going to happen now. I think it just remained vacant. They're probably not going to give it to Vince, or Vince is not going to make a big fuss about trying to get it either. I think it'll just stay vacant. In my opinion, so I think this is what's going to happen.
And, you know, I don't think, you know, even if you give it back, Reggie Bush he'll be all right. He went on and he was drafted and he had a very lucrative career as a football player. So, and he has a Super Bowl ring. So a lot of people don't even have that. So he has, you know, to accomplish great things. And he'll be all right. But I you know, so that's a situation, you know, if you ask took a poll, I'm pretty sure a lot of people would agree or disagree. So, but I don't think that you leave it vacant. You know, you give it to the best athlete. And like I said, the best athlete doesn't qualify, you get to the one that's the next runner. That's my opinion.
Right. I agree with that. Another big issue that came out today, I know we talked about Mayweather last show, about him being arrested for the larceny charge. Well, they've been adding on to the list. They added four more charges today. He's facing a total of 8 counts, everything that ranged from domestic battery, 3 misdemeanor harassment charges. He still's got the larceny charge, which is a felony. I mean, they're just adding on more and more and more stuff. The actual first charge was a felony grand larceny charge. So I don't know what's going to happen in this Mayweather deal. Apparently, this lady that's involved is the mother of 2 of his children, and she's actually filed charges on him once before. So I don't know what's going on or what's happening at this point. Now they found the coercion charge saying that the couple's 10-year-old and 9-year-old sons have been victims for alleged threats that he'll beat them if they called 911 and left the apartment during the scuffle. And apparently one of them actually had a chance to get out. So I don't know what went on, what happened in that event. I think a guy like Floyd Mayweather, my advice, you got all this money, your money, Mayweather, you need to put some cameras in your home. You need to keep cameras in your home so when this stuff comes up in court, you can show some kind of evidence that you didn't do it because right now there's like a lot of stuff is being stacked against him right now. So we don't know what's going to happen. But apparently this guy's, it looks like he could get out of control. He's facing 8 counts now. What is he going to do at this point?
Well, you know, right now I don't condone domestic violence. We let that come out in court. If he did it, then I think he should get what he deserves. If he didn't do it, then he deserves an apology. So I'm going to hold my opinion on that.
Yeah, I agree with you on that one. Now, I know we did spend a lot of time in the NFL on last show. But there have been some developments in the NFL that may even affect some of the picks you made, Royce.
Okay.
I know you were very adamant about some of the picks. We had a roundtable with Rick, and Rick had some picks and stuff as well. But the injuries have been piling up. You got the Green Bay's running back, Ryan Grant, is finished for the season after tearing his right ankle ligament, so he's gone. You got the New York Jets and the nose tackle, Chris Jenkins, and he's done for the season as well. Bob Sanders, he's out once again, torn bicep, although the Colts have elected to keep a roster spot open for him in hopes of a return. But you've got more and more people going down, a lot of big injuries. Kevin Cobb is not going to start. Jake Delhomme might not start in this game. Which injury do you think is going to affect the team or what team the most?
I'm going to still go with my picks right now. But I think probably the most affected team I would say would probably be, give me the list again. Who was the running back?
Green Bay's running back is down.
Yeah.
The Jets are missing the nose tackle. That's part of their defense.
If you shut down, they do have a passing game. You shut down the passing game, you don't have a running game, you pretty much stop Green Bay. You know, and you have to run to set up the pass, so that may be a problem. But who knows, you know, now the time, and that's one thing about pro football, you can always get you never know when your numbers come. And if you're a backup, when your time comes, you have to be ready. So I've seen a lot of guys that sat on the bench. You know, Tony Romo, your quarterback for one, you know, until the chance came and he stepped up, you know what I mean, now he's a quarterback. So you know, being a backup is very important in the NFL. You know what I mean? You never know when your chance, but you better be ready. So who knows who might be the next superstar that's already sitting on the bench. So, you know, I look for a lot of teams to pretty much keep on. As long as you don't have the key elements in place, I think you'd be all right.
on paper to me, it really seems like the Bob Sanders injury could be really huge for Indianapolis, especially the way they got ran on by the Texans after Bob went out the game. I mean, you got Aaron Foster going for 200-plus yards without Bob Sanders being there. But, you know, these guys have played without him before, two seasons previously.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
You know, they can kind of figure something out, you know what I mean? But that's going to be huge, especially if their run defense isn't there. I mean, they're in trouble, and that's what Bob Sanders is. He's their run stopper. Well, even with Chris Jenkins playing nose tackle, I mean, that's the heart of that defense for the New York Jets. Of course, you still got Revis Island. You still got Bart Scott in the linebacker core. But that heart of that defense right up front is Chris Jenkins. So we're going to really see what happens along
well,
that
know,
line.
New York has a bigger problem than the Lions. They have offensive problems. Right. So that's another old subject right there. They have an offensive problem.
Yeah, anytime your quarterback comes out and goes for 74 yards passing the first game, and like we talked about, don't get a third down until end of the fourth quarter, yeah, you have bigger problems in the defense. You're absolutely right about that.
One of the things developing, too, is
with this Michael Vick situation. Apparently, he is going to start, so I guess we are going to see a chance for Vick to play a full game. So what do you think about that? You think Vick is really going to have his – is he going to take the starting job this week?
If Vick has a 100-100 game like he did last week, you have to start. I mean, even if you didn't, I think if God didn't show anything, I think about the 6-7 week, Vick will be in there. So last week is yet to be determined. But if he plays like he did last week and they win, I mean, a big win, you know, I think he's going to have the fans calling for Tubbs, Nick on the platter.
And a lot's been talked about that maybe this was the plan all along. Maybe they did get rid of McNabb so Vick can have his chance one day to start. But who knows? The biggest, the most popular guy on the Philadelphia Eagles team is the backup quarterback. I mean, come Monday morning, they're drilling whoever's the starting quarterback and looking for the backup to come in. Well, now the backup's in, so we're going to see. Now they're going to go with Kevin Cobb, the one to come back in. I mean, Philly's one of those cities where they are really, really hard on their players, so ain't no telling what's going to happen come Monday in the newspapers there. But I'm pulling for Vic. I saw what he could do. I saw his speed a lot better than what we've seen in the past when he came back last season. And I think he's really poised. I think you can tell he's really been working on his game. Because he's throwing the ball and passing the ball, so it's not like he's a one-dimension player. He's showing everyone that he can do everything and run the offense. So I'm looking for really for Vic to have a breakout game this time. And matter of fact, Philly is actually going up against Detroit. So they have a huge chance to really take care of business, get out there and blow Detroit out the water. I mean, Matt Stafford might not even play that game. And Stafford, not on Detroit, is Detroit's a terrible team without Matt Stafford. I mean, I know you agree on that.
Yeah, as long as he don't have any parties, he'll be all right.
Yeah, that's what I said. You know how Vic likes to do it.
Yeah.
You know, as long as he stays
as long as he stays focused and just play football. But he looks to be in great shape. Looks like he has his football legs back. Looks like he's worked out on the off season, and I think he's hungry now. You know what I mean? I think he can taste being a starter, getting back to where he was. You know what I mean? So this may be a good thing for him. Just like I said, the backup in the NFL, you better be ready.
Right.
I know Vic didn't have a clue that he was going to be playing that day. But if they win and win big, and he has a big day like he did last week, I think he got a quarterback controversy.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's always a quarterback controversy in Philly. No doubt about it. It's always a quarterback controversy. But we're going to see. I think no matter what happens, though, there's a lot of supporters that say, you know, Andy Reid, that's why he got rid of Vic, so Kevin Cobb can run the offense that he wants. He wants that West Coast-style offense, and Vic is not a West Coast-style quarterback. So there's a lot of people saying that no matter how good Vic does, if he throws for 400 yards and rushes for 400 yards, then Kevin Cobb is still going to be the quarterback, which I think is ludicrous. I know that Andy Reid a lot of times doesn't show any emotion, any heart. But I know for a fact, if Vic comes out there and gets you that W, and you saw what Cobb was able to do that first half, you have to go with Vic. I think there's no question about it. No matter what kind of offense you want to put on the field, but you have to go with Vic.
Well, you know, Kevin Cobb isn't real mobile. You know, he's if any evidence of what the line was this last game, then you're gonna need somebody back there that's elusive. Because they didn't protect neither one of them very well. Vic had to run out of the pocket, you know, a lot, and he had to use his legs, and a lot of what he did, he had to do on his own. And I didn't see Cobb doing that. When he did get out of the pocket, he was knocked unconscious. So,
right.
You know, we'll see.
Yeah, we will see. Another story that's coming to fruition in the NFL, Vincent Jackson, they finally reached a deal with the NFLPA on his suspension. He's suspended for 6 full games if he stays a Charger. But if the Chargers are able to trade him, he can actually play by week 5. And I think that they'll try to trade him. I know there's a market out for him. There's been a market out there for him. But the Chargers want a marquee guy or a marquee pick. But I think a third round would be a good trade for this guy. And there's some teams out there that can really use a guy like Vincent Jackson right away. Right away. And my number one pick for Vincent Jackson would be a Viking. I think Brett needs some receivers. Percy Harvin did not practice. He's limited. He might not even play on Sunday. You've already lost Sidney Rice. I mean, I think I can definitely see Vincent Jackson being a Viking. I think the only other team I can see him maybe going to could possibly be, he could go anywhere, really, I guess. But I see him going to the Vikings. I think Brett Favre needs somebody to throw the ball to. A big target like Vincent Jackson would be huge, huge for them.
Well, whatever you do, don't trade him within your division. That's
right.
A guarantee. Yeah. So right. Don't do like Philly did with Washington. You know, because why would you trade somebody in your own division? You know,
mm-hmm.
The same way with Green Bay and Minnesota. Right, the best part. So whatever you do, you don't want him in the division. Vikings might be a good fit for him. You know, and there's a lot of teams that could use the receiver. I think that they'd probably get what they want for him.
Yeah. I think they could definitely use him there. That's just my opinion. I think they could definitely use him. Some more stuff coming out in the NFL again today. And we're going to talk a little bit about this, and we're taking calls on this next subject. Matter of fact, I didn't give you guys a question for the day, did I?
No.
So we definitely got to do that. We definitely got to give you guys a question of the day. The question of the day today is, we need a name for the show. So we need everybody to call in. And the number again is 323-927-2906. That's 323-927-2906. Or reach us at email, rfsportsradio@gmail.com. But we're looking for a name for the show. So we're taking all solicitors for the name. We might even give away a prize. I think a prize would be good. But we need a name.
Oh, yeah, we'll come up with something creative.
Yeah, definitely. We might even give away a prize. But we need a name for the show, especially those that have been listening to us since day one. So we're looking to hear from you real, real, real quick. Now, one thing.
Yeah, we're all the callers at tonight, Rodney.
I didn't hear you.
We're all the callers at tonight. We're all the callers at tonight.
Well, we've got some calls on hold right now. And I know one's on hold for sure because they sent me an email today about talking about the Rangers. And we're going to definitely get to the Rangers, I know. We're definitely going to touch on the Rangers. Yeah, one definite note I wanted to get to, and we talked about this yesterday, is I don't know if you guys are aware, but the San Diego Chargers game this coming up weekend is going to be blacked out. And matter of fact, last year in the NFL they had, I think, 22 games that were actually blacked out total for the season, and they're looking to have more games that are blacked out this season. So, I mean, that leaves the question, what is better? I mean, in today's day and age, with high definition, satellite, Sunday ticket, red zone TV, even fantasy football, I mean, what is better? Is it better to still go to the game? Be at home on the couch and watching the game. Now, I know when you growing up, Russ, was a little bit different than me. So, I mean, what do you think? I mean, when you was coming up, there was no high-definition TV, am I right?
Right. And when I grew up, you could actually afford to go to the game. As a young boy, I grew up here in Dallas. I can remember skipping out on church on Sunday. The Cowboys played at the State Fair of Texas, and we lived in the neighborhood. I can remember sneaking out of church on Sundays, going to the Cowboy game. If you were under 13, you can get in free with any adult, and we just go out there and just cling on to anybody to go, can we go, hey, can I go on the game with you? So actually, it was free. Nowadays, Family of Four is like a vacation to go to Cowboy game. So they really, it's priced everybody out. I understand Jerry has to pay for that new stadium, but at the same time, and with the economy, it's just not affordable. And then for me to watch it on in the comfort of my living room with high-definition television is a miracle to me, because I remember watching it in black and white. We didn't have color TV. So I'd rather watch it. And to me, it's like being at the game with the high-definition receivers and TVs they have today. You know, so I know people my age, it still amazes us, you know, that you can see that clear on TV after seeing it fuzzy black and white, you know, growing up. With rabbit ears and the reception gone, you know what I mean? And weather was bad, or it was horrible. And this technology today just blows me away. But it's, the prices of tickets are just too high. The economy is too bad. They need to, you know, and like I said, a lot of people can have, you know, same kind of enjoyment sitting in their home, and, you know, everybody has to get together and family, you know, and football watching parties and Super Bowl parties. So, you know, and even parking. Even if you went to the game, it costs you a portion to park. I think you and I went to a Ranger game, even go to a Cowboy game. I know people pay, what up $75, $50 for parking.
Parking is anywhere from $60 to $75 in some cases.
Yeah. You have to park your car. You know, that's ridiculous. But back to what you were saying, I had heard Skip Bayless talking today on TV. He said that the commissioner told him, who was the manager of the Cowboys back then?
And I know exactly what you're talking about. It was actually a quote that was given
Tex Ram, he envisioned
the way the National Football League will evolve to is a studio game where these guys are basically playing the game in a studio environment with no fans, And if you really just pay attention, he said that a long time ago. This was in the birth of the Cowboys, way back. He said that then, and now they got the advent of even 3D technology for the games. And for a 3D broadcast, I mean, in a studio environment would be perfect for a 3D broadcast.
All right. So, you know, everything's going to reality TV, and they quit using studio audiences and shows now. You know, they have this canned laughter, you know what I mean? Nothing is hardly live anymore, but they, you know, and they don't use actors anymore. So, you know, that could be something that happens down the line in the future, you know. Where they just play the game, and you can go on TV and pick a game that's, you know, no fans, and it may cost you some money, but you probably be able to watch any game you want, you know.
Right.
So we'll see. It could be the future. Who knows what lies ahead, you know.
Yeah, and then, you know, it's just ironic because it's like now I can have the family over. I can be with my family. We can barbecue. We can eat. We can invite friends over. We can tailgate right there at home, basically. For a fraction of the cost it would cost me to just take my family to the game. I mean, we're talking about a PSL, you got to buy a license for your seat, you got to buy a seat, you got to buy parking, and you got to buy food when you get there. And like you said, it's just like taking a vacation. I remember we talked about it, it's either taking the family to Disney World or to a Cowboy game. And I think we're going to go to Disney World. You know, I think there's going to be a lot more memories at Disney World than at the Cowboy game, especially when I can sit on the couch and watch a 55-inch screen in high definition or in 3D and see all the replays and not worry about the heat or the cold or somebody spilling the beer on me. So I definitely think it's going in that direction. Who knows what will happen? I mean, I think that's years down the line, but who knows? But that's an interesting question. And if any of you callers want to weigh in on that question too, you can tell us what you like. What do you like better, the going to the game or staying at home and watching the game? I think that's an excellent question.
All right.
And another big game, and we could touch on this as well too, because I think it needs to be said, because I am the only Cowboy fan on the show, unless I'm joined by another fellow Cowboy fan.
Yes, you are. But
I am the only Cowboy fan on the show. So let's touch on that real quick, because they have a huge game. To me, it's a big game. I think so. To me, the game against the Bears is a huge game for me. It's the first home game of the season. They're already 0-1, and they need this game. They need game. Because week after this game, we go down to Houston, we play the Texans.
And they beat y'all in preseason.
They beat us in preseason. Beat us in the third preseason game. The same game we're supposed to play all the starters, supposed to be the dress rehearsal. And they beat our heads in. And they just came off a win from the Colts. Who knows what they're going to do this Sunday. But you know if they're going to get up for any game at home, it's going to be the Dallas Cowboys going to Houston to play the Texans. So I think this is a game that they have to win. Now, with that said, we are going to be a little bit stronger. And I know you hate to hear this, but our reinforcements are back. That's right. We're getting our linemen back. No Alex Barron. Kozar and Colombo are going to be coming back for the game. So you tell me, is this going to be enough to make my prediction of 34 points come alive? What do you think?
You don't need reinforcements, Rodney. You need for what you had a jail. Looking like the Cowboys are not in sync, you know.
Right.
Even with all that in place, they still got to play together. And I didn't see that on the offensive side. Maybe I was wrong, maybe. But I'm going to blame that game on Jason Garrett. All the Cowboys need to do is go out and execute. I think Tony Romo ought to call more audible. If he the play called in by Jason Garrett and he can't see it, he needs to have the opportunity to call an audible. And I don't know if he's that smart of a quarterback. We just have to wait and see. That's my opinion of the Cowboys. And if y'all don't win in Chicago, then you're going to be 3-0-3. Because there's no way on earth that y'all are going to beat Houston.
You don't think we're going to beat Houston, the Texans?
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Come on, man.
Did you see what Houston put up on the scoreboard against the Colts? And do you think that the Cowboys are a better team than the Colts?
They're just as good as the Colts. Don't act like they can't beat the Texans. They can beat the Texans. Don't act like they just cannot beat the Texans. They can beat the Texans.
They're supposed to beat Boston. Am I right?
Yeah, of course they're supposed to beat Washington.
Right. Or did they beat Washington?
We know what happened that game.
They
we
lost.
Know what happened. We watched the game. We know what happened that game. They played horrible, even though they had a bad call at the halftime from Jason Garrett, even though they did all of that, didn't score any real touchdowns but one, they still came out at the end of the game with a chance to win. Still had a chance to win. The defense held.
Chicago's a sorry team. They weren't supposed to win. I mean, Washington wasn't supposed to win. So that means y'all are worse than Washington. Am I right?
No, they don't mean worse than Washington, man. You watch the game.
Okay, if Washington beats y'all, they're a better team.
Washington's a better, worse team than us, man. You watch the game. You know that.
But they somehow managed to win. It was ugly, but they managed to win. You understand? They managed to win. The thing that killed y'all that night were penalties. And the game ended on a penalty. Am I right?
Yeah, we talked about that. They had 12 penalties for 10 points.
Right.
I mean, you cannot win the game if you got more penalties than points. So I just hope and pray that at least Wade ran them at least over the course of this past week. Because, I mean, at least, and that's one thing you know about Jimmy Johnson and Bill Parcells, if you did something in the game and cost us a game, you're just gonna pay for it in practice.
Oh yeah.
I don't know.
Oh,
what,
yeah.
I don't know what this coach is gonna do.
If you weren't gonna perform, you got pulled.
You got pulled, or you got cut, or you got cut right there. And I even heard Wade Phillips come out this week and say that O.S. Barron is gonna be all right. Matter of fact, for those Wade Phillips fans out there, because we had one on the show last Tuesday. Wade Phillips even said the problem with Axe Brown is that his arms are too long.
His arms
are too long.
Jerry said that.
If I'm not mistaken,
Jimmy Johnson fired somebody in the middle of the season. If I recall, he fired him. Am I right?
I think he fired more than one player.
That's right, in the middle of the season. I can't see Wade Phillips reprimanding anybody. You know, I see him on the sidelines and the player do something stupid. He don't even look at it. You know, I would at least turn him down. I mean, I expect that out of a coach. Most coaches do that. But Wade Phillips has the same look the whole game, win or lose, you know. And a coach has to show emotion, too. You know what I mean? He can get the players fired up. So, as far as him firing up the players, I just don't see that. Jason Garrett either, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, we are.
You didn't see Bill Cowell do that. You know, you don't see any other coaches in the NFL do that. So, you know how I feel about the Cowboys, Rodney. As long as those three things are in place, I will never be a Cowboy fan. That's Wade Phillips, Tony Romo, and Jason Garrett.
Yeah, well, I'm not
too one high. Low go.
I'm still a huge Cowboy fan. I'm not too high on it, but I'm still a huge Cowboy fan. Now, some the power rankings that came out for the NFL, USA Today has the power rankings after the first week. And we'll start with number 10. Number 10 on the power ranking chart is the Jets. And I don't know. I mean, from what I saw from the Jets, I don't know if they deserve to be number 10 on the power ranking list.
Well, I think it's how they finished last year that they gave them power ranking. But last year's over with. You got to start out what you got this year.
Yeah.
You know, so I think they got the ranking by what they did last year.
They're still an 0-1 team. They could easily be 0-2 taking on the Patriots. We should have a Patriot. We're going to do a little roundtable on the Patriots-Jets game here pretty soon. Because I know I got some strong opinions, and someone else got some strong opinions about these Patriots, too. Number 9 on the power ranking list is the Chargers, San Diego. And they're 0-1 as well. But I think we both think they're going to kind of bounce back here in week 2.
Number 8 on the list
is the Vikings. And I like the Vikings. I picked them to win the NFC North, so I think they'll bounce back. Number 7 on the power rankings. Meaning that these guys are better than the Vikings, Chargers, and the Jets. And number 7 on the list is the Cowboys.
That list is based on how they finished last year. It's not based on this year. This year's list will come out next year. So this is based on how they finished the year last year. So after the third week, Cowboys won't be at number 7.
We'll see about that. We're going to take some calls here in just a second. I'm going to finish up the list. I see we got some callers calling in. We got the Colts at number 6. The Texans at number 5. We also got number 4, the Patriots. Number 3, the Baltimore Ravens. And number 2, the Green Bay Packers. And the number 1 team in the power ranking list for this week are the New Orleans Saints. Coming off a big victory on Monday night, going up against San Francisco this coming up week. I think that could easily be 2-0.
Well, they're the Super Bowl champs, right, until they defeated, just like the Lakers are the champions until they get defeated. That's how they work. Yet number 1.
We will see about that. And do remember, guys, we're taking all callers tonight. You can bring up any topic you want to discuss. We can go over anything you want to talk about. Again, the number is 323-927-2906. That's 323-927-2906. You can find us on the web, blogtalkradio.com/RFSports. You can hit us on the email, rfsports@gmail.com, rfsportsradio@gmail.com. And, of course, you can hit us on Twitter at the RF Sports feed. Now, let's go ahead and take a call. Let's get some of these calls in real quick. We got a caller calling in. Caller, are you there?
Yeah, I think press one.
Yeah, we might have lost the caller right there. Let's see here.
Caller, call back. And you have to press one once you get online.
That's right. When you call the line, you definitely can listen, but you have to press one to be connected to the show. Now, I want to go over a few emails I did receive. A lot of people emailed me about the loss in the Cowboys, who they blame. Some people actually were blaming the kicker. Some people were blaming the short choice. But a lot of people were blaming Romo. They were thinking, well, why would Romo even throw that pass? Why wouldn't he throw it out? Why wouldn't he take a knee? And my answer to all those people that emailed me about Romo is the play shouldn't even been called, period.
All right.
That play should not have been called. The ball shouldn't have been in Romo's hands or the choice's hands to make a play, period.
But, you need to be if you're going to call the play, why not the Hail Mary?
Why not the
At
Hail
least,
Mary?
You know. Right.
Why not give your team a chance to really do something, get down the field instead of throwing a quick out to a running back on a busted screen. So I definitely understand what you're saying. Let's get into a few more of these calls real quick. Bring a call on real fast. You're on the RF Sports Radio Show. Can you turn your radio down just a little bit? And who are we speaking with?
Yeah, this is Joe.
Hey, Joe. How you doing, man?
What's going on? This is Joe. Joe from Houston, I heard y'all talking about the Texans earlier, so I had to call in and put in my two-piece, man. And, yeah, I think the real test. What'd you say?
Yeah, but Houstonian.
Oh, yeah, definitely had one of those, yeah. But, yeah, the Cowboys, it's funny, you know, everybody was predicting that, you know, the Cowboys going to go all the way. It's going to be the Colts and the Cowboys in the Super Bowl and everything like that. I know it's just game one, but Texans are looking pretty good right now. They're looking pretty good.
I mean, it is game one. I mean, the Texans look good. They did come off their winning season, their first winning season, going 9-7 last year. But now I like the Texans, okay? I like what they're putting together. But this Aaron Foster guy, is he the real deal? You tell me, you're a Houston fan, is he the real deal? Are we going to see this game in and game out, or was that just a fluke?
It wasn't a fluke, and this is the thing. You're going to see it, but it's not going to be just like it was the last game, because I'm letting you know right now, I know that Washington is preparing for the run, because they watched that game, they saw everything went down, so they're preparing for the run. So we about to air it out with Andre Johnson, you know. So everybody who got Schaub and Johnson on your fantasy football, get ready for that, because we about to air it out on them, so. But, yeah, I think it's Houston's year, man. I really do. And I think that it's going to be a real test, this next game against Washington, you know. And then week three, we got you. We got the Cowboys. So that's,
right,
I'm definitely
right.
looking forward for that one. And then y'all in our house, so y'all going to
have to. Definitely expecting a call from me for that game. I know we definitely expect
a call
for that game.
You know, even if they stop the running game, y'all still have a hell of a quarterback. Y'all got good. The season score too. So it's two ways to beat you, with the run or the pass. So if they stop the run, you know, the run sets up the pass sets up the run. So
I don't know about
y'all pretty much balanced off him.
I'm not sold on Matt Schaub yet. I'm really not. I know they got him for Atlanta, but I'm not really sold on Matt Schaub.
Were you not paying attention last season? He had a great season last year, like a phenomenal season.
Right.
I'm not sold on
Tony Romo either.
He got elected to the Pro Bowl. He had a decent season, but that's their first winning season. Okay, they went 9-7. It's not like they won 10 games. Okay,
but Ronnie, Well, Ronnie, in defense of Houston, they lost a lot of games by either a few points, the last second. There were a lot of games that they could have won. You know what I mean? They were close to winning. Am I right?
That's true. That's true. I was looking for Chris Brown during the offseason because he missed so many field goals. I was looking for him in Houston. But yeah, we did lose, like, you know, like two games to the Colts was like by a field goal. We lost to the Titans the same way. So I think we back on point now. Like, so we don't want it to leave it to Chris Brown or anybody else to try to win the game for us, you know. So that's why we're really trying to go out there. And a lot of people talking about Foster, how he did great in the game. But to me, I like to give hats off to the offensive line because if it wasn't for them, Foster wouldn't be able to make the moves that he made. So definitely.
I do remember y'all were playing the coast defense as a little suspect with nobody.
Come on, Rod. Come on, man.
There we go. There we go.
I'm just stating the facts. Come on, man.
Now, what are the chances of maybe having a full Texas Super Bowl with the Texans and the Cowboys? That's a possibility.
I don't put it past them, man. I really think that this week one was a test. You know, week two is going to be a bigger test. But to me, when we play the Cowboys, I think that's what's really going to set the season off. I think if we can, you know, that's what's really going to set the season off and determine where we're going to go. Are we going to have another 8-8 season or 9-7 or whatever? I think when we play the Cowboys, when we play you guys, if we win, I think we play off bound, man. I think that's going to get their heads on straight.
Yeah, we're going to see.
You know, the biggest hurdle Houston had was the coach. Now that they learn how to beat the coach, and that was really Houston's Achilles heel.
Exactly.
Learning how to finish games, you know what I mean? It's just like Chicago. Remember, it took Michael Jordan a long time to get over that hurdle. You know what I mean? To beat the Detroit, you know what I mean? To beat the Lakers. And once the team get that, you know what I'm saying? Once the team gets that kind of winning attitude.
Joe Dumars used to have Jordan on lock, so yeah.
Right, you did, yeah.
Okay.
Now that you can learn how to finish games, I look for them to go 10-6 or 11-5.
I like the sound of that.
If Houston beats the Cowboys, I'll take notice. I know you don't like the Cowboys, so you go with the Texans now?
If when Dallas plays Houston, the Texans, I'm rooting for the Texans. I guarantee
you made a wise decision. That's a wise decision. Good job.
Yeah, I guarantee a win.
I guaranteed it. Okay. Sorry.
Yeah. And I'd be willing to put up a round of golf. Anything I want to play with that. Please round of golf.
Okay, that'll work.
I'm just glad, you know, I'm impressed with the showing, man, because I know out of the 16 times before Sunday that we played the Colts, we had only won once, so 15 times we lost against the Colts.
Right.
So this is really the turn of the chapter right here. So, everybody's taking notice, and I'm just glad, you know, that I was always with the Texans. I'm not about to jump on the bandwagon. I was always with the Texans. Let the record show. When they, when they do everything that they're going to do, you know, this season and the next season, you know, I was there from the beginning. So, yeah, even when David Carr.
I still got the Millie White Hugh Johnson shoes, man. Yeah, man. From the old Eastern. That's the old Eastern plan. You know what I mean? Warren Moon. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All
right. Houston's always been my team.
You guys go on the road. You're going to Washington this week. That should be a W. That's all I got to say. But you still got to play the game. So if you guys lose to Washington, I expect you to call in and give us a reason for a loss against the same team we lost against in Washington.
Oh, regardless, I don't think we're gonna lose. But regardless, I'm calling in to check in. But I don't see us losing. And when we play the Cowboys, I'm gonna call in and get your excuse for losing to the Texans. So, yeah.
I got a question for you, Rodney. Say the Mavericks don't make the NBA finals playoffs, and San Antonio goes. Do you root for San Antonio?
I mean, it's yeah, I do root for
Texas. The Texas team going to root for him, right? Okay,
right.
One's in the NFC, other than the AFC. Why can't you be a Texan fan and a Cowboy fan?
I'm not saying nothing against the Texans. I'm not, but when they play the Cowboys, they're going to get hammered. I'm sorry. They will get hammered.
Wow, okay.
They will get hammered.
We'll,
I mean,
we'll
skip
about that.
Just
2 weeks.
We're 2 weeks. We're going to see. That's going to be a test for both teams. That's why I really, that's why I think it's important for the Cowboys to win this game, because they can't go 0-3 and go into a bye week 0-3.
Yeah.
You know, we're going
to
go.
Cowboys have to, Cowboys have to win.
They have to win. So I see us back on track in Chicago, and I think the offensive line will be more gelled together by the time we play Houston. And we'll go down there and run up the score.
We'll see. We'll see. All I'm saying is we're gonna beat the Redskins. I think that's pretty much a done deal. We're gonna take that momentum, and then we're gonna be at home anyway when you play us.
Right.
So,
right.
So we'll see. You know, we're gonna be loud. The crowd's gonna be loud. You know, Romo's gonna choke, probably mess up the snap. You know, have a couple fumbles here and there. So we'll see. Romo's known to choke. So that's all I'm saying.
Okay. Well, hey.
Okay. Well, we'll definitely talk that day.
I can't deny that. But I thank you for calling in, man, and we thank all the people listening in H-Town, and we might have to put together a big watching party for that, because that is going to be a big game, Texas and Houston. But we thank you for calling in, man, and keep listening.
Not a problem. Y'all have a good one.
And I tell you what, if it's a Texas, all Texas Super Bowl, you can come on up and we'll show you a good time in Dallas, man.
I'd appreciate that, too, man. I'm going to hold you up on that.
You heard him say it, not me. You heard him say it, not me.
Yeah, if either team goes, if either team goes, we're going to celebrate. Right.
All
right,
man.
All right,
thanks a lot, man.
Yeah, not a problem.
Okay. Wow, we got Houston fans calling in. Where are Cowboy fans at? Well, am I the only one that's standing for the Cowboys? Am I doing this alone?
Looks that way, doesn't it? I mean, these are, when they win, they're the greatest, they're America's team. But when they lose, they blow the Jerry. You know how y'all are. You know how y'all are. When they win, they're America's team, but when they lose, they're Jerry's team. So, I think they're waiting till they get to be America's team again.
Yeah. Well, let's jump into this a little bit of quick baseball before we get into the whole matchups and stuff for this week. Now, those of y'all that don't follow baseball that much, let me catch you up a little bit. Yes, the Rangers are still playing. I know it sounds crazy, but they're gonna actually have some games during the football season, because they have made it to the playoffs. They are number one. They actually 10 games up in the playoffs, and they're just coming off a big sweep of the Yankees, 5-0 at home. So they're really, really starting to peak at the right time. And you want to go into the playoffs winning, especially for a team that doesn't have a lot of playoff experience.
Right. If, you know, to Ranger fans, it's like a dream. You know, they've been waiting for this day for forever. You know, it's like Christmas morning. Because I want to give a shout-out to all the Ranger fans. These are some of the most dedicated fans I've seen. Because rain or shine, win or lose, they're always supporting the Rangers. And we're well overdue for a good team and a winning season. And I hope they go all the way.
I'm really rooting for them. I actually had the privilege to have season tickets last season. I should have had them this season, though. So I got to go to a lot of games and get familiar with the ballpark, and that experience is really, really nice being there. I can only imagine what it's going to be during the playoffs, man. And then one of the big things we talked about them missing Josh, and really they haven't missed Josh. You got a guy like David Murphy stepping up. He's filling in for Josh Hamilton. And I saw a stat on David Murphy today. He's actually batting since Hamilton's been gone. He's been batting 358.
He's had
nine hits, eight RBIs. And two homers. I mean, that's huge production from a guy like David Murphy when you got a hole like Josh Hamilton in the field. So I think the Rangers are poised and made some really good moves in the offseason. And just think, a few months ago, the whole team was being tossed up in the courtroom, in a battle between Nolan Ryan and Mark Cuban. And look where they're at now.
For a team that didn't have a, you know, that were bankrupt, you know, to be in the league, and it was a 10-game league. They learned, and it just goes back to what I said. They finally learned how to beat the Yankees. You know what I mean? They got over that hurdle. When you learn how to beat your biggest competitor, you know what I mean, it makes a big difference. Gave them confidence. You know what I mean? But now I have no trouble if they had to face New York. You know, I would have a lot of confidence. And the other time, it was always, you knew the Yankees were going to win. So, you know, I'm waiting to see what happens. You know, and I wish them the best of luck. Great team, a great owner, you know, and I think they'll go a lot further with Nolan Ryan.
Yeah, and my question to all you Ranger fans is, who do you want to play first round of playoffs? You got the AL East is still really up for grabs, although Tampa Bay took a half-game lead during this past series. So who do you want to play first round? Do you want to see the Yankees, a team that you've had some success against throughout the year, or do you want to see the Rays? And we all know what the Rays did.
Yeah, you don't want to see the Rays.
Yeah, the Rays in that ballpark inside that dome, with the pitch they have, that's a huge advantage. But it's just something about Yankee Stadium during the playoffs. I don't know if they're ready for that either. I mean, so what do you think? You think they want to see the Yankees first, or do they want to see the Rays first?
I think I want to see the Yankees. Tampa Bay is scary. I mean, they are a really scary team. I think they would I'd rather see them play the Yankees. Because the Yankees aren't hitting too good right now. You know, and, you know, hitting always go down in the playoffs. And I think we have a better team than the Yankees right now.
Yeah, I hope so, too. I really do hope so, too. One of the things, one of the biggest additions that we made was getting the best pitch on the market, Cliff Lee. And he's been paid dividends. He started out real slow. But that's the kind of guy you need for the playoffs. They've actually decided to change his start, just to start him on Saturday so he'd be ready to start the playoffs once the playoffs start. But Cliff Lee, I mean, what else can you say about having him on a team like this? Well, a team that's always been known for having the sluggers but not having the pitching, and here you go, you get the best free agent acquisition you can get in Cliff Lee. So we're really going to see what Cliff is going to do. I know he doesn't want to be here. He's complaining about the weather. He's complaining about being here in Texas, but I really hope I can see what he's going to do. I mean, do you think he's going to give them the push in the playoffs that they need? Can we pencil his starts in as a W?
Yeah, you would think he would want to have a good showing, you know, to make himself even more valuable. You know, we already know where he's going, but you would think he would want to ring, you know. Who wouldn't want to ring, you know, World Series ring or championship? So he should give it his best shot, you know, but I'm like you. He doesn't seem like he wants to be here, but he's here, and why not make yourself look good?
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that I think he wants to ring, but he did this with the Phillies last year. He pitched pretty well, although they didn't quite make it. And I hope he does the same thing for the Rangers. I think the Rangers have the firepower to get past the Yankees. The Rays, that's just another deal with the Rays. That stadium is like, it's so loud, especially during playoff time, and they got so much good pitching over there. Their sweep of the Yankees, this about a week ago, the Yankees didn't pitch CC Sabathia. They didn't pitch none of their better pitchers. We saw Phil Hughes for one pitch. So they really didn't kind of beat the Yankees. Per se, they built the back end of the bullpen. They really go up against the starters. So we're going to see. It should be pretty interesting.
All right.
I think it definitely be interesting. One of the big games we wanted to get into, too, is, and I think this is going to be the biggest game, other than the Cowboy game, that's coming up week, and that's going to be the Jets and the Patriots. The Jets against the Patriots. All the talk from Tom Brady saying that, hey, we don't buy into all this stuff the Jets are talking about. The Jets
Randy Moss.
Lost. Randy Moss, stuff he's been saying in the media. I mean, how do you see this game going?
Well, I got to give it to the Patriots. If New York doesn't have a deep threat, to me, Sanchez and they're not letting them air the ball out. And if you don't air the ball out, put up a lot of points against New England, you don't have a chance. And I see New England continue with doing that. I say 38-10. I say the New York not going to even get a touchdown.
You say you think New York's not going to get a touchdown?
I think New York's not going to throw a touchdown. Yes, I do.
Don't forget,
unless they add a ball out there, unless they come out with a different game plan, there's no way in the world that's scope.
Then don't forget, Cincinnati did put up over 20 points in this defense. It's not like the defense can't be.
Right.
They can't score on the defense.
Yeah, but look who they have. Carson Palmer, Ocho Cinco, and T.O. So, I don't think New York has that.
Well, that is true. That is true.
Right.
I'm looking
right.
for the Jets to bounce back. I, you know how I feel about the Patriots, so I'm really looking for the Jets to kind of bounce back and do something big this time. And we're supposed to have a big Patriot caller calling in. I guess he decided not to call in today. But I think definitely the Patriots are going to lose this game. I'm going to go out there on the limb and set the Jets.
Wow, Rodney, that's a very flimsy limb, you know. If you get a bigger branch,
yeah,
I think you're
going
to end up falling out of the tree on this one.
Yeah, I'm definitely going with
the Jets. I think you should get off that limb. It's kind of weak.
I think I'm definitely going with the Jets.
You probably break your neck on that one.
Yeah.
But anyway, I don't see how you see that because New England is playing like they're in the fifth week of the season, you know what I mean?
Right.
And New York is still trying to figure it out. So, I mean, I don't see how you can even pick New York. But I'll take that for a free round of golf.
Yeah. I see you really on this free round of golf today.
Yeah, I picked it up a couple of years ago. I love the sport. I'll probably be on the senior tour in the next couple of years. Since Tiger's not winning, I think I see it. So somebody's got to step up.
Yeah, somebody's got to take over, right?
Yeah, right.
Someone's got to take over, right?
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think that's going to be one of the biggest games this coming up week. It should be the key game this week. Other than that, that's the one I'm really looking forward to see other than the Cowboy game. So we did have a Houston fan call in. If you guys missed that earlier, he was definitely putting his Texans
Cowboy
up
fan.
There. Yeah, he was telling us that he's going to beat the Cowboys, and they look like they might go to the Super Bowl this year. Now, where are my Cowboy fans? And I know my Cowboy fans have got to be listening to that, thinking, okay, Houston, are we going to lose to the Texans in regular season? I know we lost to them in their first game in their new stadium, but are we going to lose to the Texans? I mean, we got to have some Cowboy callers calling in. We got a Cowboy caller on the phone here, hopefully. It could be another Houston caller. Let's see. You live on the R Sports Radio Show. Who's this?
This is Rick, man. What's going on, bro?
Hey, Rick, what's going on, man?
Yeah, Rick.
Oh, ain't nothing. Just sitting there checking y'all out, man. How's it going tonight?
It's going pretty good, man. I don't know if you caught this earlier, but we had a Houston caller call in and was basically saying that it's a possibility that the Cowboys will get beat when they play the Texans in 2 weeks.
They talking about the wrong team. That must be.
They talking about the right team.
Yeah, that is something got to be going on. It's Cowboys all day, Cowboys. We're gonna go down there to Houston and we're gonna beat them. We're probably gonna. I think both teams will probably put up some points in that game though. So it might be a good game. 27-24, somewhere around there. It'll be something like that.
Well, I tell you what. Talking about putting up points. I have yet to see the Cowboys put up points.
Yeah, I think they're gonna get in the rhythm though. Yeah, I think the Cowboys gonna get in the rhythm.
Without a doubt, I think they'll
beat Chicago. I think that would be a much closer game, though. You know, I actually think both teams' defenses will probably step up pretty good in that game. So I don't think the score will be really, you know, that big. I think the Cowboys in that game, I say 21-9, somewhere in there.
Yeah, well, I
guess.
I tell you what, with both quarterbacks, there's going to be some interceptions.
Both quarterbacks are prone to throw interceptions on both of those teams. I guarantee you it'd be an interception in that game.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. Now, I am going, while you're on the phone here, Rick, real quick, I am going to just chop up just a real quick, which I'm going to put you on hold 1 second here, because I want to bring up just a few more stories. We're actually going to cut the show a little earlier today. And I want to just touch on just a few more things. Real quick for the NBA fans out there, the Rockets, speaking of Houston, the Rockets sent Yao Ming. They say he's only going to play 24 minutes a game due to the fact that he's too much stress on his bones. I mean, the guy is, what, 7'6"? I mean, he's prone to all kind of injuries. So limiting the 24 minutes, I mean, it'll help, but I don't think it's going to help Houston get over the hump. So we're going to follow that story and see what happens along that front. There's been some talk about LeBron James, but when is he not in the media? I don't even know if they got enough players to put a team on the field yet, and some of the players have already said that they're standing behind him with all the criticism that's going on. One of his teammates, Udonis Haslam, has actually got his marijuana charge dropped, so you don't have to worry about doing anything with that this season. So we'll see what happens on that front. The Magic did sign Malik Allen. The Jazz have signed a free agent in Elson. And actually, Dan Pierre doesn't have a team. Even though we traded him away, he has been cut, so he's out there, so he doesn't even have a team.
Who wants him?
I don't know. But he's liable to find a team somewhere to play with. He can do
something. Oh, yeah, somebody needs a center.
Yeah.
Or somebody standing in the lane.
There's actually a rumor circulating right now that Dan Pierre may end up in Miami playing with the Heat. So we'll see about that. We'll keep following that story and see what happens on that story. There are some Matt. Go ahead, Royce.
A big body to fill a lane. Somebody need one, you know. And that's what Dan Pierre is to me. He's a lane filler.
Yeah.
He's not going to block shots. He's not going to get to 12 points a game. So.
Yeah, I agree with you on that.
The backup center.
Some of the big college games going on this week. You got Texas going up against Texas Tech. Now, this is not really a big game. We got Alabama against Duke, the number one team in the nation, Alabama. Although they are getting Mark Ingram back. I don't know why you're rushing Mark Ingram back, to be honest with you. I mean, you're only playing Duke. You got a real tough SEC schedule coming up. So I don't see the reason to rush him to come back so quick. But he is supposed to play against Duke. So he'll probably score, I don't know, umpteen touchdowns against a defense like Duke has. You know, Duke is a football powerhouse. I mean, a basketball powerhouse, not a football powerhouse. So we'll definitely keep checking on that. The biggest game to me is going to be the Texas Tech game. I know we got a lot of listeners on both sides on that. Even the Texas Tech student body president has actually asked that all the Tech fans be silent when the players of Texas take the field. They said that'll cause more of a threat being silent when they take the field than making a bunch of noise or cussing or being rah-rah against Texas. I mean, have you ever heard anything like that? You think anything like that would really work? Royce, are you still there? Yeah, I think we might have lost him. We have some problems with the service here at Blog Talk. But we're going to definitely close out the show a little earlier tonight because we're going to be doing some key things. We're going to have a special show next Tuesday to wrap up NFL Week 2, to wrap up the college football, and to get into more of the rumors and everything else as well. So we want to thank everyone for tuning in on this short show today. And you can always follow us at blogtalkradio.com/RFSports. You can call in at 323-927-2906. You can reach us on email, rfsportsradio@gmail.com, or follow us on Twitter at rfsportsradio2. So we're going to give a special shout-out to SMS. I know they're listening. Shout-out to Chief and Stay Paid. I can get to your calls today. I want to thank our Houstonian for calling, Joe. I want to thank Rick for calling in and taking up for the Cowboys. So I'm going to be by myself. And we'll definitely see you guys on Tuesday, 9 o'clock to 11 o'clock. Until then, go Cowboys.